Sunday. We changed our time. I got prime time. Somebody thought that what we were talking about was working from 7 to 9 on Monday and on Wednesday from 7 to 9. Stephen B. U. C. on this show. Just Monday? Oh, that's something new. I thought we were doing Martin Monday, Wednesday. Oh, well. It moved right along. Just Monday from 7 to 9. It's Stephen B. U. C. doing the Key of E. Excellence for you and me. Let's rock. We got a great show. Oh. Again on Monday with Stephen B. doing the Key of B. Excellence for you and me. We've got a great show today and a lot of things to talk about. The first thing I want to say to you is this. I want to give you some local news because it's pretty shattering to me. We lost a young man 2 days ago whose brother and I are very good friends, who is a peacekeeper here in Indianapolis, Indiana. And those peacekeepers were hired from the city, by the city, to travel with police officers to keep down confusion in the black neighborhood. Well, he's no longer with us because the very violence that he was working hard to stop took his life as well. You know, it's unbelievable and unconscionable to me that we continue to do exactly what America wants us to do, and that's to destroy ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk more about that. But I really want people to just really think. The other issue is Roe versus Wade. I'm about to talk crazy about Roe versus Wade today. Last but not least, I've had an experience that I'm going to put on the internet that people are not going to believe, but it's true. I'm about to expose a catfisher who tried to extort money from me. What an idiot. I mean, in first place, if I were me, I would try to extort money from me. But even worse than that, I know too many people. Are you crazy or out of your mind? We're about to expose, and I'm starting to use names this week. I've got cleared from my attorney that I can start talking about these people on air with no fear, especially when I can prove what I'm saying is true. So as we are here today, we're going to start where we left off. One of the things that I have and I'm privileged to have on our show today is Reverend Patricia Turner. If you remember the last show, we were talking about black women in the pulpit. We're going to continue that conversation. We're also going to touch on Roe versus Wade. Patricia, thank you for coming.
It's a pleasure being here.
Now, I'm going to change the script a little bit and ask you, what is your feeling about this decision that was written by a black man who has never written a decision on the Supreme Court ever, who has done nothing but sit there and look like the token that he obviously is. And I'm not saying that to belittle the man as a man. I'm saying it to belittle the principle of the man. Justice Thomas has never written a decision. He's never even opened his mouth. He's never even asked questions. of people that come before the Supreme Court. Yet, he decided to rule and write the opinion of Roe versus Wade. What's your opinion about Justice Thomas and what he did?
Well, my opinion is that I don't think that he should have done what he did. Not from the perspective that he did it. I don't think that he should have talked about, I think that he should have had more knowledge about abortions and stuff before he said something.
The truth of the matter is, it's not about knowledge. This man was director of Civil Rights Commission. His assistant director was, what's the girl's name? Help me out, man. Whatever her name was, who accused him of sexual harassment. This man is married to a white woman who let everybody know that she's a Donald Trump supporter. Now, like I said, once again, I'm not trying to criticize the man. As a man, he has the right to continue. But when we sit there and look at the history.
Anita Hill.
Yeah. Didn't I see you with her, man? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did.
Bernstein. Yeah. But anyway, the thing that fascinates me, Pastor, is this. We all know that Roe versus Wade is based on abortion. We also know that traditionally, we don't have a very good job of legislating morality. This man knows this. He came, he was a Democrat with no shoes on, okay? One of those buckboard Democrats. Now, all of a sudden, he's a lover of the Antichrist as far as I am concerned. What gives this man the right to make such a ruling? Which he knows, I did this, which we know, that is anti-black because, let's be realistic, the abortion pill, which is made by Margaret Sanger, was put in the black community, the birth control pill. That's number one. And she let it be known that her reason for doing this was to eliminate the black
race. Yeah, that's what it's for, to eliminate our race.
We also know that the recent ruling from Congress making guns legal with no registration is geared towards black people because we know that they know that the violence within our community is going to take over our lives. What, I mean, as a pastor, what do you think about this man's attitude and what he's shown to America?
I think that he's shown to America what he thinks about the black race as a whole.
Well, that's calling him Uncle Tom and doing it so well.
Yeah, well, so, that's what he is if you look at it.
So let me share this with you. Shortly, we're going to have a female pastor from North Carolina going to call in, and we're going to discuss a couple of things. But let me tell you what I think about this whole Roe versus Wade thing. First of all, I think abortion is wrong under any circumstances.
Yeah.
I don't believe in it, even in rape, because to me, pro-life is what it's about. Either you're pro-life or you're not, and I'm pro-life. I must apologize to any woman that I've offended in reference to my view, but I'm pro-life, period. Doesn't make a difference to me. What bothers me is these conservative so-called do-righters who are preaching about getting rid of the abortion ban are the same people who believe in the death penalty. The same people. Now, I don't know whether it's a child unborn, whether it's a child born. Death is death. It makes no difference to me. So to me, this is an oxymoron statement. It was even worse than that. They know that nothing has been more effective than limiting the numbers of black people in America than abortion.
That's right. And that's why they're doing it. I see it as genocide.
Hello, wait a minute, Bernstein.
I mean, there's nothing different.
She said the bad word, genocide.
Well, there's nothing different than what's been going on all along.
Hello. See, we're talking to a black woman who happens to have children, grandchildren, who's a pastor in the pulpit, I mean, really. And, you know, if anybody has more of a right to speak on this issue than it's women, especially black women. So, uh-oh, Bernstein, my Jewish movement, has something to say. Here's the question. Okay. Uh-oh, your mic's off. There's a reason. He's a Jewish Muslim. I'm going to leave that alone. I really am. I got a new guest coming on tonight. His name, while he's getting this straight, his name is Mac.
What did I say?
Oh, Macaroni Big. He happens to be my brother. He's going to give us some street knowledge later on. We're going to talk about that. But anyway, you got your microphone on yet? I got to do the Pacer song or something. How about I'll do Twilight Zone? Do, do, no, that's the Jeopardy. Do, 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 do. Come on, man. Well, we'll give him a second. But let's go back to the real. In fact, let me do this first because I'm going to really elaborate on it. Let me tell you that those of you who have heard me and read me know who I'm about. I'm very honest. I'm very straightforward of what I'm about. And believe this or not, this young lady who befriended me in Facebook, who has taken a lot of time and effort and asked me for favors, and I didn't mind doing the favors. I mean, you know, somebody's in need, I try to do it. But this woman has the nerve to ask me for $300, and I told her, you got to be out of your rabbit ass mind. She has decided, since I didn't want to send her this $300, to blackmail me by using Facebook as her instrument. Mind you, the pictures that she put on me, which she took off my page, which one of them had a very explicit sexual photograph. First of all, I wish that my dong was that long, but it ain't. But it don't make no difference. On the real, I'm sorry, Pastor, gotta be right. I gotta be real. The truth of the matter is, this woman, her name is Jane Hansen, who says she's from Louisville, Kentucky, who says she's in Ghana right now, who asked donations from me, not only to her, but to a charity in Ghana, is unbelievably stupid. And I ain't done yet. We're going to get back to that because I'm about to expose her and other catfishers because I'm sick and tired of these assholes. That's what they are. People that are less than scum trying to use people like me and you, my brother, pastor here, for the ill-gotten gains. And I ain't got no fear. This idiot had the audacity to try to call CNN, try to put stuff on Facebook, and the pictures and reference to me had the audacity to do such. What she didn't know, that I ain't nobody to play with. Before I even got off 20 minutes talking and figuring this out, the FBI has been alerted. The Congress has been alerted. Because, hey, that's what I'm about. Who else? We talked to a lot of people today. The immigration people have been alerted. You're playing with the wrong nigga. And I'm furious about it. Because people like you have no reason to be on this planet. People like you who think you're players, you're playing with the wrong nigga. Let me tell you something. I grew up as a thug. And there's nothing more worse, more dangerous than a thug with a PhD. Young lady, you're fucked up. I got news for you. I'm coming after you. So let's get back. Sorry, Reverend, I'm being real. Let's get back to the show because I got pictures, I got proof, I got a man sitting right next to me who walked this journey with me and he knows what this woman is talking about is a lie. Tell you what, young lady, you and your grandmother in trouble. Trust me. Now, let's get back to my show because I will tell you more about this later. Now, what's your question, Bernstein?
Okay, I got a question. I guess I have two questions because I'm a little confused right now. The first question is,
why are you giving me questions? Give me my commercials.
Okay. If abortion is a form of genocide of killing black people, how can you be angry that they overturned Roe versus Wade because it's eliminating abortion? That's my first question. My second question is, not defending Clarence Thomas, but Clarence Thomas didn't make that decision on his own. The Supreme Court made the decision.
There
was like 5 votes to 3.
No. There was 6 to 3. Three of those votes were Trump voters. I mean, Trump appointees. That's number one. Let me finish. You asked me a question. Let me finish. That's number one. Number two, let me tell you why overturning Roe versus Wade not only hurts us, but it hurts women of color. Here's the issue. First of all, there should have never been an issue. Abortion and killing is wrong, period, no matter how you look at it. Doesn't make a difference. I've been against it from the get-go. But here's the other issue. God has given each and one of us a God-given right.
That's true.
The God-given right is the freedom to choose, regardless of what I think. That issue is between you and God. That's y'all's issue. What is really bad about this issue is this, is not only are you removing the rights, God-given rights, not man-given, God-given rights, ability to make their own decisions, chart their own destiny. Well, see, worse than that is you have not only disrespected them as human beings, you've disrespected God by trying to judge and make decisions on something you have nothing to do with, period, regardless of how I personally feel about it. Why does it hurt black people? Here's why it does. Because now it's causing confusion and developed a new business entity. Because now these states who are going along with it, they got programs. Now they got a vacation abortions.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Already there's a woman on the media selling vacation abortions. We're about to make white folks richer again using the church, using moral fiber as their ability to make money. Am I wrong or right?
That's right.
Now, Pastor, because I want to get back to the women in pool. You had how many children? 4?
Yes, I had 4 children.
You have how many grandchildren?
And I have numerous of grandchildren.
Hey, you got to try,
over
y'all.
50.
I ain't one of daddies.
I have
work.
Over 50 grandchildren.
I ain't one. Bernstein, are you one of daddies of this girl?
No.
Reverend, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know I cut up.
I might be one grandbaby.
Might be one of my grandbabies.
Grandma. Hey, but on the serious note, being a mother and being a pastor, what is your attitude about the assault on women in general, especially black women, in reference to this issue?
My take on it, my attitude about women and abortion is I am pro-life. I have had an experience with abortion my own self.
Oh?
Yes. So out of ignorance, and I think that a lot of people is doing it out of ignorance because they think that this is the right thing to do. They think that, well, I have an excuse to have this abortion because of my circumstances. It's not right to bring a child, another child. I got too many children. Whatever the case may be, the reason why they feel justified in having an abortion.
Let me ask you this question, Pastor. Are any of your children out of wedlock?
Yes.
Now, here's the question I want to ask you. That term illegitimate child. There's no, to me, no such thing as an illegitimate child. Life is life, so life is legitimate.
Well, I think that no matter how a child is born into this world, they have a purpose of being here. It don't matter if they got here through rape. They still have a purpose on earth, or they wouldn't be here.
I'm speechless. I mean, okay. You get it out of the ballpark. You get it out of the ballpark. Now, let's go back to the subject. And as a matter of fact, let's take a pause for the call. So I can do a little maintenance thing here. I'll come back, do some courses, then pass the pet. I'll get back with you. And our guest should be calling in shortly to chime in on this thing about black women in the pulpit. And here's the strange thing about the two black women I'm talking to. Very dynamic in the conversation, very knowledgeable about the Bible. And they ain't bad looking at it. I'm serious. Never say I'm not honest about what I'm about to say. But the truth of the matter is they happen to be very attractive women, very smart women, and that doesn't make them not dedicated to the Lord. They're dedicated to the Lord, but let's not ignore the fact of the beauty that's with them. So taking a pause for the cause, we'll be right back. We got so much more to talk about.
cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some.
Oh, we're back live. Well, wait a minute. I'm on the phone trying to make a connection here. Welcome back to Controversy. Are you there now?
Excuse me, man. Call me now.
All right. We're back on some controversy. Stephen B. doing the key of B. I apologize for my mistake, Bernstein. But that kind of happened, so you have to work with me. I'm waiting for a call to come in from North Carolina, so as soon as it comes in, we'll get into that conversation. But right now, we're here with Reverend Pat Turner, who I'm trying to finish up. Our interview from last week. Pastor, let me ask you this question. Back to yourself, women in the pulpit. Do you think that as society is evolving to this whole attitude about women breaking the glass ceiling, do you feel that women being in the pulpit is part of that? Or is your attitude that women in the pulpit have always been like that since Jesus' mother Mary?
I would say that woman in pulpit has always been like that since Mary. I think women was lost throughout the years. They lost themselves into religion versus being who they were born to be, who they was created to be. Back in the days when Mary was on earth, she knew who she was. She knew who she was. And in this day and time, many women don't even know who they were born to be or how to be the woman that they were created to be. So they cannot be themselves, they true selves of who God created them to be.
No, no.
And the thing with...
She tried to call in and say it was the wrong number. So give me the number again. Go ahead, I'm sorry, Pastor.
Okay. So I feel that women are just becoming to being their authentic selves, even in the pulpit. They're not allowing religion to define them. They are allowing God to define who he created them to be and not religion.
Let me ask you this. One of the common things that have been approached about when the pulpit is that Jesus, our God, depending on how you look at it, had determined that women place is far better attending to those prophets who were out there on the front line, that your role is not to preach, your role is to teach children and to teach, you know, the whole old-fashioned thing about barefoot pregnant.
And that is not accurate. We have Mary Magdalene. We have many women that was in the Bible. We have prophets, women prophets. Deborah was a prophetess in the Bible. We have women all through the Bible that taught and did things, miraculous things in the Bible. So why would people feel like we supposed to be just us in the kitchen or wherever? That's not where we supposed to be, because God does not look at what people is not understanding. God is not looking at gender per se. God is looking at spirit. When Jesus came into on earth, and when he died for everybody. And he did not die for us to be separated with one another. He's not looking at gender. He's looking at spirit, a available vessel that he can use on the earth to bring souls in. So it's not about who's, if it's a man or a woman in the pulpit.
Pastor, you know, I hear what you're saying, and we're going to get more dialogue represented. Right now, I think that we have Reverend Lorraine Walker to go to the phone from North Carolina, right or wrong?
Yes,
Lorraine,
she
is. There?
She did.
Are you there?
Hold on.
I'm here.
Okay, you there?
Hello?
First of all,
yes,
first of all,
I can hear you.
Thank you, Reverend Lorraine Walker. First of all, this is Reverend Lorraine Watkins calling us from North Carolina. Thanks for calling in and helping us out here. I'm here with Reverend Patricia Turner, and we're talking about women in the pulpit. And first of all, I want to introduce you guys to each other because you haven't met. And these are two brilliant women.
Hello, Lorraine.
You're?
Yes, hello. You call me minister. I'm not identified as a reverend. Minister Watkins is fine.
Minister Watkins.
Mm-hmm. How are you? Good. Nice to meet you.
One of the things we've been talking about before I get into the first thing, obviously we talked about the abortion issue, and we'll touch bases on that again. But basically we were talking about women in the pulpit, and Pastor Turner was explaining to me her feeling in reference to that. And one of the questions that I have to you, Pastor, or Minister, is this. Do you think that women in the pulpit are fulfilling the mission of Christ? Because there's this big thing about some women don't belong in the pulpit. I disagree. However, what is your feeling in reference to that? Hello?
Are you speaking to me?
Yes. What is your feeling? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. What is the question again, or statement?
Right. The question is, there's a lot of people that believe that women don't belong in the pulpit, that because of the history of the church and men taking these leadership roles, what's your feeling? Do you think that women should be in the pulpit?
Well, I think women have a voice in ministry. I think the man should be the leader or a pastor in ministry. But I also know that women have a voice in ministry. They don't necessarily have to be in the pulpit to minister to people, because ministry is so broad and so wide, you know? It's just so many levels to ministry.
Let me ask both of you this question. And I'm going to be frank, and I'll probably use some words I probably shouldn't use. I mean, the last time I interviewed Pastor Turner, I even referred to her behind. I guess I shouldn't have, but that's what it is. Let me ask you, because both of you guys are not only very brilliant women, but you're both very attractive women. Do you have a problem while you're preaching or in the pulpit, knowing that men will be looking at you, but really their minds are so more caught up on your beauty and how sexy you look and that whole thing? I mean, do you guys think about that?
When I am bringing forth the word of God, if God is speaking through me or using me in ministry to speak to his congregation, male or female, my mind is not on whether or not the men are looking at me through a lustful eye. I'm focused on the message of Jesus Christ. I'm focused on what I'm saying, what God is revealing to me for his people. And if the men are lusting, have a lusting eye, then, you know, that's their problem. That's on them. They need to get delivered from that, you know. But me personally, I'm not focused on how they see me. I hope they see me through the eyes of the Lord. I hope they are strong men of the Lord who was anointed by God, who wants to hear a word from the Lord and look past the outward appearance and hear what the Lord is saying to them and for them.
Pastor, what do you think?
I agree with you, too, on that. Also, that if they would, you was asking the question about the man looking at the woman.
Mm-hmm.
If I feel that if the men will keep their focus on the woman as being a messenger from the Lord, as they are a messenger from the Lord, and just focus on the word, like my sister was saying, then we don't have to be concerned about those things.
And, you know, I agree with you both. But being a clergyman myself, this is my attitude and what I see. I am a red-blooded American like any other male, and it's kind of difficult to separate the human being from the purpose, especially when you're talking about this. I acknowledge the fact, I mean, I've sit on the pulpit and preached and sit there and watch the audience like, damn, that's a very attractive woman. I mean, because number one, regardless of what we think spiritually, the truth of the matter is we're human beings. So that reaction is going to be. And I, as a person, my attitude is, I mean, be honest with you, there's times I've sat in the pulpit and looked at a woman and thought, boy, what a great ass. I'm being realistic. I'm being a human being, okay? Knowing that, what do you think about that? Pastor Mark, I'm just being, wait a minute, my producers are laughing at me.
That's from a...
But I'm being real. I mean, what do you think about that, Pastor Mark?
Well, we see attractive people in every industry, even in ministry, we see attractive people. But like I said earlier, when we are doing ministry work, we are held accountable. We're held to a different level. Accountability, people expect more from us, you know. They expect us to carry ourselves in a way that will not be tempting or making it more impossible for a man to even focus on the word of God, what you're saying. Most of us, the way we dress, you know, we're dressed modestly. We don't wear tight clothing. We're not exposing our skin,
Let me say, Steve. All that you're saying is true. Don't get me wrong. But there's a reality here. It's not about what you think. It's about what other people are thinking, especially me being a male. I mean, I'm being real. I mean, I have sat there, and you and I have met. You're drop-dead gorgeous, fine as hell. Let's be realistic here. But the truth of the matter is that a man and a woman are still going to be men and women. I have sat in the pulpit myself, And looked at the audience and thought, hey, you know, that would be something to be with. I'm just being real. I mean, my question to you is this, and my concern is this, knowing that you guys both are pastors, knowing you guys are intelligent, you don't think, or you don't have a feeling about people lusting and looking at you in that way, regardless of whether it's a pastor or not.
And I'm bringing forth the word of God. My focus is on what God has me doing. I'm not focused on what somebody else is thinking about me. I'm not thinking about, and if it's another pastor, male or female, in the pulpit along with me, their focus, I believe, should be the same, what God is saying, not in the humanness.
But what you believe is one thing. The reality is that pastor who's sitting next to you or that pastor is delivering a message may be thinking something completely different. Okay, let's be real.
But I think that everyone is entitled to whatever the way they think. It doesn't make it right or wrong. But the thing is, when you're ministering the word, male or female, your focus should be spiritual and not natural.
Pastor Watkins, your opinion?
Whoa.
Wait. Pastor Watkins, your opinion?
Well, if you're talking lust, like lusting after them or finding them attractive, lust is a spirit.
Yes.
Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, that is a spirit.
Yes.
And a woman she could be dressed fully, she could look like a nun from her neck to her ankles, and he could still lust after her, you know. And I think if he the one got the lusting spirit, she's not trying to encourage it. He the one has the lusting spirit. He's the one lusting after her. You know, whether she's fully dressed like a nun or whatever, it's on him.
Okay.
You know, I think you should be asking him how he feel about a woman being preaching in the pulpit or anywhere else in ministry. You know, does he have a problem with a woman in the pulpit because she doesn't?
Pastor, let me say this to you, and no disrespect to either one of y'all, but that's bullshit. And I'm telling you it's bullshit, and I'll tell you why. Because number one, you guys keep focusing on your message, which you should. You keep focusing on what you think, which you should. But I'm trying to get you to understand that men who are attending the church are thinking a whole together different philosophy. So therefore, how potent is your message if this man is looking at you as lust? How potent can your message be because they're not listening?
He ain't a godly man.
That's right.
He's not a godly man. He's out of here.
He should be listening. He should be more focused on God than the woman.
Stop. I don't care what they should be focused on. We can all agree on what a person should be focused on. But I'm talking about the real. I mean, I'm really talking about the fact that regardless of what we think a person should be focused on, I'm telling you that people are focused on other things. My question to you is, knowing that, how effective do you think your message is in church when other people are thinking of other things, whether it's sex or not? Pastor Watkins?
Well, it's not going to be effective for them if they're not listening to the word of God. It's not going to be effective for them. No, it's not going to be effective. It's not going to mean anything to them if their mind is somewhere else, that they're losing, you know, the message. They're not getting the information.
And then what good
because
is it?
Their mind is on something else.
And you're
know?
Right. And what good is it for a female to be in the pulpit? I mean, because if nobody's getting the message, especially those who are thinking, who need the message, who really need the message of repentance, if they're not even concentrating on it, then what good are you in the pulpit?
Well, I think they should get a message from another male perspective then, another male ministry.
You know what? That was a good sign.
They can hear from a woman. They should hear the message from a man. Maybe they can hear from a man. Maybe, perhaps.
Maybe
they don't need to be in that service.
Ah, that's cold. Y'all cold, boy. But
because their focus is not where it's supposed
to be. And to be honest, I agree with you. I really do. I'm just trying to let you focus on what I, as a male, we're going to change the subject for a minute. Pastor Watkins and Pastor Turner, obviously, the Supreme Court decision about getting rid of Roe versus Wade is causing such a great problem in this country. As a matter of fact, in Greenville, South Carolina, where you live at, Pastor Watkins, as I told you yesterday, there was a major riot and uproar. And I'm not sure. I thought the report said one person was killed, 4 people were injured, or 20 people were injured. I'm not sure. But this issue has really separated this country probably like never before. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Pastor Watkins, let me ask you this question. What is your opinion about abortion and the attitude that the Supreme Court has taken in reference to it?
Well, personally, I am pro-life, and I know some women who possibly have gotten raped or something, or and got pregnant, felt they had a legitimate reason to have the abortion. But I vote for the baby because the baby does not have a voice. And at conception, I believe that life begins at conception. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that life is an accident. Mm-hmm. A baby coming into the world is not their fault, by which means they come into the world. They're still innocent, and they are a human being. And I just don't believe in abortion. That's my personal opinion. I don't believe God believes in abortion, because God, he's the one that gives life.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
You are a mother as well, right?
I am.
Let me ask you probably a very difficult question to ask you both. I know a little bit about both backgrounds, and I know a little bit about the struggles that you two have had. And her struggle is equally as, what's the word I use, as dramatic as yours. Especially in reference when it comes to children. Knowing this, let me ask both of you this question. Do you think that if you had to do everything all over again, regardless of the circumstances and the trauma that both of you had, you would do it again? You would make the same decision again to not have an abortion or to have an abortion, whatever. Both of you, would you guys have made the same decision now in retrospect? You get time to think about it. Would you decide?
I have no regrets of my decision, and yes, I would do it again.
Hello.
I'll be glad. I'm pleased with my decision. I'm pleased with it, and you know, no, I would make the same. I would not change a thing.
That's true.
I'm pleased with my decision. I don't have any regrets, but. Having done some things differently when it came to making the decision to having a child or getting rid of a child, I would have kept my child.
Let me say this in closing, for the sake of doing it, that once again, I want to share with you, I'm very pro-life. I don't believe in abortion in any circumstances. I don't. I care less. And I'm sorry if I offend some people by making this statement, but here's the issue with me. Even though abortion is wrong, without any stretch of the imagination, I am in the opinion that what is even wronger is that we take a God-given right away from any human being, especially a woman, who is entrusted life. As a matter of fact, without you guys, there wouldn't be me. I mean, let's be realistic. Mm-hmm. And God has given us all the wisdom and the blessing of free will. As a matter of fact, I tell people all the time, let me tell you something. Archangel Michael, who was the most beautiful angel in heaven, so they said, decided that he wanted to be the boss and decided he wanted to be Satan. And you know what? God would have destroyed him that second. But he didn't. He didn't because, number one, he us to understand that he loves us so much that he's giving us the right and the freedom to choose. Do you agree, Pastor Watkins?
I'm sorry, I was distracted. I was thinking about what you was thinking. I mean, what you were saying, but I didn't get the whole buck of what you were, the question.
The whole thing with me is this. First of all, those conservatives who happen to be convoluted in their thinking, who believe abortion is wrong, yet they believe the death penalty is acceptable, are stupid. There's no way about it. That's an ignorant thing to think. But my question and my statement is that the God-given right for you to have the wisdom and the freedom and the blessing to choose, whether you think it's evil or not, is a right that is far more important than them making decisions about death to a child. You unfortunately are placed in a situation. It's fortunate, I should say, unfortunate situation that you are the only person on this planet that can give life. Women, let's be realistic. Men can be involved, but y'all got to carry it for nine. And on top of that, y'all got to deal with all the grief. Period. And kids don't come with no manuals. So let's be realistic here. My statement is this, that we do a poor job of legislating morality, number one. You think I'm kidding? If we are so great at it, then why did we have slavery in this country? If we're so great in it, why are we having people who threaten our government still in office? We don't do a good job of morality whatsoever. So in saying that, my belief, and I just want to share with you your statement is the freedom to choose is far more important and far more paramount to society than to make a decision on whether somebody has a right to take a life or not. Your opinion, Reverend Watkins?
Well, yeah, everybody have a right to make their own decisions in life, whether the majority of the people or the people that they know believe that is the right decision, right or wrong. Everybody has a right to make any decision in life they want to make. You know, I don't believe in the death penalty either, because then they have not really suffered. They're, once in your life, it's over. The pain is gone. You know,
that's premeditated murder. That's what it is. Let's call it what it is.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely is premeditated murder.
But I mean, there's someone who had 5, 6, 10 abortions. I mean, that's not. I mean, you know. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Just to think about it. Just because you have the freedom to do that, you're eliminating life, and I just think it's wrong. But they have their own reasons for doing what they're doing, you know, but I'm just telling you how I feel about the thing, you know, because everybody have a conscience that they have to live with, you know, they might regret it, they might feel sorry that they did it, they might have been forced to do it. Some young girls have been forced by their parents to have abortions because they want to save their face.
That's another
You know, they want to save their face. You know, they've been forced. It's been forced on them. They didn't do it. Somebody decided for them.
Pastor Watkins, give me a second.
Because they were underage. They were minors, you know.
Pastor Watkins, give me a second because I got somebody wants to make a comment. Go ahead, Percy.
All right, I have a question. Going back to what you just said, but is it, you said that the death penalty is premeditated murder, right? Isn't abortion the same thing, premeditated
That's
murder?
That's my point.
They're the same, right?
That's my point.
What are you saying, aren't they?
So, I mean, how can you draw a distinction? There is no distinction.
Only distinction that I can see between the death penalty and abortion is the person that sent the death penalty is an adult and they're being punished for decisions that they made in life versus a baby who's been aborted. The baby hasn't even been here yet to make any decisions to be terminated. That's the only difference I can say in the contradiction of killing is killing.
First of all, regardless of what a person decided in life, regardless if the baby has no decision, the bottom line is this. Women have been toyed around with for 50 years. Roe versus Wade, getting rid of Roe versus Wade. They have taken literally the decision from women who are entrusted with giving us life, taking that decision away from them.
Okay.
And here's the issue. The issue is this. God gave us all the right to choose.
Okay, but you just flip-flopped, though. You just flip-flopped because you said that God gave women you just said that killing's wrong.
Yep.
And then you just said that God don't make a woman decide to terminate her baby.
I didn't flip-flop. Because my personal decision is, my personal opinion,
no, you said they take the right way for women. That's what you said. My bad, I
agree with you. Exactly, because by making that decision that the Supreme Court has made back and forth the last 50 years with a couple of idiots thrown in there, like Clarence Thomas, so what they have basically done is said, you don't have a right to choose. You don't have a right to your body. I have a right to your body because I'm the government.
Well, I got a question for you. Why is prostitution illegal?
Oh. I agree with
the same shit.
Listen,
Same shit. Listen. You tell a woman she can't sell her vagina.
Once again, I'm going to make this statement. I'm categorically clear.
Whether it's prostitution, whether it's in a pulpit, whether it's out here just having sex, we do not have the right to take a God-given right away and say, because it's the law, we're going to call the law later. Something.
So you think God sanctions abortion?
What I'm saying to you is this.
I don't know what that is.
Wait. What I'm saying to you is this.
No,
No. You asked me a question. Let me get one thing straight with you. I never said anything like that. Here's what I said, and I will say it again. We don't have the right to legislate morality. We don't do a good job of it, number one. Number two, we don't have the right to take a God-given right, determine that it's mandated by law, and say that it is so, because it is not so. Whether I agree or disagree, the abortion issue, there's one thing that's more important to me, that the Master has given us all the blessing, hopefully the wisdom, to do the right thing. If we don't do it, that's between them and God. Me personally, I'm against it. I have no right to pass judgment, and I'm not passing judgment. What I'm saying to you is this. If you ask me what is more important of an issue in reference to abortion, the most important issue is you need to give unto Caesar's what is Caesar's and give unto God what is God. You have no right to take the God-given right that every individual is granted by the Master. In fact, even with the level of saying, I can take this devil out anytime I want to. I'm that bad. But you know what?
No. Stop. You are the type of people that convolute this whole argument. I'm going to say it again to you. That's my opinion. My opinion. It has nothing to do
with the master. But you keep throwing God in there, though. They claim that God says thou shalt not kill.
Dude, let me say this again to you. We all know the rules. God says we should not kill. The issue is between her and God, not between me and God. I'm telling you, my opinion is I'm going to follow the law because I believe in it. It's her right to make a decision of her destiny. Every human being is right. Not the Supreme Court, not the president. It's the right of that individual. And me, I'm going to always support. Whether I agree with it or disagree with it, because my relationship with God is personal.
Yes,
yours are.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
And this justice of law will make it right.
The justice of law will make it right.
Dude,
slavery is
it? Isn't that what I've been saying all along?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're both saying the same.
No, you said I flip-flop.
No,
I flip-flop, no, nothing.
No.
I'm going to say this and kind of go with it again. This is what I whether I agree or disagree with your decision, even though I personally think it is wrong to do a poor child, that doesn't give me the God-given right to take your beliefs, your system away, because whatever decision you make, that's between you and God. Period. My decision has nothing to do with it. Hopefully, people will think more morally to favor my decision, but if they don't, I can give a shit. Truth of the matter is, it is what it is. Reverend Watkins, I'm sorry. Thank you. God bless you. Reverend Turner, thank you. God bless you. I got to finish my show. I'll call you a little later, Reverend Watson. Reverend Turner, I'll call you a little later. Thank you, and God bless you. We're going to take a pause for the cause and get the rest of our show. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
there's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Right now.
Welcome back to Controversy. He would be hosting the TV. Doing it for excellence for you and me, with 10% working on my brain, the rest of it behind my back, because most of y'all can't understand or comprehend what I'm saying. But that's okay. We're going to get through this. I got a couple announcements to make, and then we got a segment we got to talk about. New radio show lineup. All yazzaradio.com shows are moving to 7 to 9 p.m. Standard time. Sunday moving forward, hosted by Dwayne Abernathy from 7 to 1 p.m. Monday, Controversy. That's me, UC, Stephen B, doing the Key of E. We're going to rock. We're going to talk. We're going to talk about the shit, too. But anyway, I want 7 to 9 Monday. We're going to do 7 to 9 Wednesday. My producers doesn't know that yet, but we're going to do it anyway. Also, Tuesday, talk to Tyler. Hey, girl bad. If I got to get her on the show next week, one way or another, Bernstein, I got to have her on the show because she's great. She's hilarious. She's very entertaining. And on Tuesday, that's on Tuesday from 7 to 9. Wednesday, show and the host coming soon, 7 to 9, coming soon. I'm here. Anyway, they're over here talking. I'm just telling you what I'm talking about. But on Wednesday, it's going to be a new show. Host coming soon. Hopefully it's going to be me. And on Tuesday, Pepe and Snap, two brothers that are really rapping about what's going on from 7 to 9. And I would like a show on Rod. If you would like a show on YazzaRadio.com, email marketing@yazzar.com. Hey, wait a minute. I don't see you guys on here.
It says radio.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, y'all ain't doing radio too?
Yeah, TV show.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me, Bernstein.
That's new episode every Sunday starting at noon.
New episode every Sunday starting at noon.
On the SIB TV
channel. On the SIB TV channel. And what else? Okay. So check us out. Before I get back into flushing out this catfish bullshit, I got a new guest person who's going to be part of my animal family. He calls himself Mac Daddy B. He's going to give us a street talk. And we're going to talk about what's happening in the streets. Mac Daddy, what's up, dude?
What's up, babe?
Hey, man. By the way, he happens to be my older brother, but that has nothing to do with it. All his life he's been a hustler. So
that's right.
We're going to the hustle law right now. What's on the streets, man?
Boy, look here. They done lost their ever-loving mind.
Uh-oh.
Look here. It ain't about money no more. It's about the whole concept of everything. This ain't hard. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense.
Hello.
I don't know what's wrong with them.
Let me ask you a real question. What's that? Bernstein?
Yes.
Marcus, y'all can home on this. We talking some real shit, okay? Let me ask you a question. Everything has gone up. Has the price of, you know what, gone up too?
Yes, it has.
Hold up. Hold up.
I ain't in the building, but I know what you're asking.
Hold up. Hold up. Everything go up but your check. Let me make myself perfectly clear. It is tricking if you got it. Okay? Let me get this clear. All these folks doing their money in them dealers club right there doing all that, it's they tricks, bro. They straight tricks. Damn. Here's my thing is, if you want to give a little girl some money to go change her life, here's some money to go change her life. But them dollars you're giving her that you got stacked up, that ain't going to change her life.
I got a question to ask you.
What's that?
So you talking about me, Bernstein, Marcus, Arisa, Square, and Lincoln?
No. Well, no, hold on. Not Bernstein, Marcus, man.
Hold up. It's one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to call no name.
I am.
Hold up. I ain't going to call no name. But you know who you are. They'll just say. Here's my thing is, y'all. All through the whole evolution of life. Sex sales. Now, you know what? A lot of times, you be labeled a prostitute, a woman of the night, because your dress has these kind of mini skirts, half your ass out, and all that. But the real woman getting the money now is she hold up, she got a long dress on. She talking about all kind of crap, but she getting money now because she ain't exposing everything. You a trick? Don't be mad at the gang. Don't be mad at the gang. Hold up, listen. Here's the thing I'm saying is, the new prostitute does it a little different. They're not walking the streets no more. You feel me?
What are they doing?
They walking the hotel. They walking.
Wait. Me and you were talking about this. Okay. My mother was a very incredibly beautiful.
Had three jobs.
Incredibly beautiful woman. This woman had long black hair all the way down there, but had a body like a rose wood. And my mother, or our mother,
yeah,
you know, let us know straight up at a very young age what she was about. My mom worked a very professional job in Fort Harrison,
yeah,
and she was a cocktail waitress.
Place to play.
Yeah. But she was a woman of the night.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
You're right.
And she was straight up.
Right. Yeah.
Do you remember that mom told us that, you know what? All you little niggas need to do something. Because ain't no woman going to want y'all because y'all think y'all cute. Y'all need to learn how to cook. Y'all need to know how to clean.
Hold up.
Need to know how to... So am I wrong or right?
You're right. And you know what? Ain't a woman in the face of this earth can clean a house up better than me. I don't need a female to do all that.
Huh? If you a player, you clean up your house?
Hell yeah. You know what?
Why?
Because the pork chop eat. Biscuit eating ass wank don't mean a damn thing to me by bullcrap. You can't listen. You can't love because you cook, because you clean. I can do it my damn self.
You know why I'm laughing about this is because in my family I've always been the square. Little Thug is the square. And my brother will tell you that I was so square that I'm the kind of person when bought this fabulous apartment. I had a white mink.
On his bed.
Yeah.
Who do that?
And
in the service.
And I brought my
okay.
Now stop.
Okay, well,
I brought my brother to Chicago to run a nightclub that I ran because I was too young to even go into it. So
Four people sitting there.
But by the time we finished the nightclub was what?
I would say like a week later, y'all, you couldn't even get into that.
Yeah, every night. But here's the strange part about it. I was dating an ebony model at the time. And I would come home to this ebony model. My house be packed full of my brother's partying ass friends and shit.
Hold up, man.
And wait a minute, I ain't done. Me, I'd go in my bedroom and do my thing. These niggas would party like till like 4 in the morning.
Oh, 5 or 6 in the daylight.
Wait a minute. And I'm in the service.
Yeah. Poor baby. But here's y'all. Let me tell y'all something. Listen to me. Now, I'm going to hit a few things right now. Here's what I'm going to tell y'all. My little brother.
Oh, now I'm still... I'm 67 years old and I'm a little brother.
Yeah, you're younger than me. Anyway, now, here's what it was. He told me something a long time ago. He said, B. Shut up, daddy. Say his name. Anyway. He said, hey, man, you know what SIDS is? I said, oh, shit. That must be a new drug. But it wasn't. He was running for state representative. He said, Beto, our black children are dying. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? He showed me black and white, y'all. They were. His whole platform, while he was running for the state representative, it was seeing a whole lot of black children were dying. Now, here we go. What's it?
They're still dying.
Hold up. What year was that?
81.
Now, here we are now. We're talking about abortion. All kind of crazy. Hold up. We're talking about abortions now. We are redoing a law been there for a long time. Now, you have the right to do what the hell you want to do with your body. But what about what he was talking about? It didn't lose your body. Our black children were dying. Now you're going to tell me. Hold up. But now you're telling me you want to make a decision if you want to kill your baby or not. I'm sorry, y'all. I heard what he said when he first grew up. Y'all, they were killing our black children. I had no idea what my brother was talking about. But now you're going to tell me you want to worry about you're going to do it. Man was doing it a lot in 81.
Hey, man, you know
what? Machi, hold up. The tears is coming out of my eyes. It was from me. We mixed up. What the Bible say? He cannot stop what the Bible say about the seeds. It was happening. He had to address it as a young man, and he addressed it.
Well, let me ask you a question.
What?
A real tip.
What?
So one of your women, because trust me, he had women in the streets.
Well,
Okay. It is anyway. What it is. What are you going to do? Take you to jail?
No.
But wait, you had women in the street.
Yeah.
So if they decide to have an abortion or not, after they had the abortion, they had to go back to work, didn't they?
No.
Oh, you didn't send them back to work?
No. I have never had a female get pregnant in her on her job. I'm just going to tell you.
I ain't mad at you.
Here's the thing. We have got so mixed up. We're getting away from the Bible. Here's the problem. What he said was, in his thing to get elected, he wasn't playing. It bothered him. But the Bible said, were we raised on the Bible or not? Thank you. We don't deviate from what the Bible says. Y'all can put y'all little game in because it's modern times are changing. The Bible still says the same thing. Thou shalt not kill.
Hey, this is the Mac Daddy. Master B talking his stuff, telling the truth about what's going on the street. Wait.
Mac B, I ain't mad at you because even players, pimps, trolls, it makes no difference. They're still a God's children, too.
Gotcha.
So what you're talking about is right, man. It's right.
See, because, y'all, we get mixed up. We try to have rights outside of the Bible. What the Bible say? We don't have to kill with our still.
The Bible anymore. Says I need to take this drink.
Sure do.
Yeah, right.
Hold up. No, and I'm saying you're a woman. Listen. Me, hold up. Me, here's what I'm going to tell you is. If you were raped, I got to sympathize.
My producer is now playing bartender.
Hold up. If you were raped, I got to sympathize with you because you're looking at a child that didn't come out of love. It didn't come out the realm of what God taught us when we were kids.
Hey, man, what about me? Whoa. Stop.
You wasn't raped.
Stop. Wait a minute. What? Somebody tried to rape me, nigga. You ain't said nothing about that.
Oh, wow. Did you get an abortion?
How did I get an abortion? Let's go.
Look, back to what I'm going to say, y'all.
Here we go.
Listen, y'all. What I'm going to say is, the game ain't changed. The Bible say what it say. Now, we deviate because we thinking that times are changing. We have to allow the Bible to bring us to this part where we at now.
What?
What
is religion? What if you're not religious?
What if you're
in religion? Trouble. You're in trouble. You are in trouble. No.
Wait. You understand one thing. Everybody has a different religion, okay? No, wait, check this out.
Yeah.
Everybody got a different religion. Pastor Pat has her religion, her spirituality, and it's well working, just like Pastor Watkins. But Mac Black Daddy, you got another religion too. It's called...
Ain't no double.
Huh?
Ain't no double.
Wait, come on. If you were in the pulpit, now didn't you tell me that you would take that plate and say, Lord, I'm giving you this offering. I'm going to throw it in the air. What falls on the pulpit belongs to me?
Stevie, no. I'm going to draw a circle. I'm going to take the plate and throw it up and say, God, hold up. Everything falls out of the circle goes to the church. Well, Father, this church is going to be mine. See, y'all, you know what? Hold up. The pastor drives what kind of car? Ain't a Volkswagen. He drives a Cadillac.
Is that what you've been driving?
A Cadillac?
Yeah.
Well, hell yeah.
Oh, what you change them to 300?
No. But you know what? Let me make myself perfectly clear. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. See, my problem. Hold up. All this religious thing is, when me and my brother was growing up, we always see Baptist preachers. We can't laugh. We was in a Buick, a Ford. We didn't have a radio in it. We had to go to church every Sunday morning. We didn't go to church season. We can't go play.
That's right.
I'll try to teach the boy about some sausages and some blossoms and pull a thread out. Mama told you can't go. Oh, my God. Y'all just don't know, y'all. We've been from a religious family. And I'm telling y'all this. The best thing that ever happened in your life is your grandmother, your grandfather, your mother, your father, and all the kids in the same house.
Dude. Let me tell you something. The best thing that ever happened in your life is you met me, okay?
Oh, hell no.
Hey.
See, hold up. The problem being here, I've been trying to save you from everything you do.
Hey, that's beautiful. Hey, listen, we got a rock and roll continuing show. Mac Baby B, thank you for everything. Every week, man, every show, you got to be here, man. And
I'm coming.
Some of the philosophy of what you got.
I'll talk about 453 on the damn.
Tell them if they're scared, say they're scared.
They better
the call-in number is, I got to find it. I lost it again. The call-in number is 515-605-9800.
You got 45 more minutes.
Check this out.
I ain't done. I'm not done.
I'm not done. And Bernstein, bring your butt over here because we got to talk about our sports, man. Some people you got to beg. This is our favorite segment.
The slave trade.
The slave trade. Okay. Talk to me, man, about what the Pacers did.
They got a new slave.
Right. real tip. Do you think they did well in the draft?
I have no idea. I know nothing about that young man that they picked up. I can't tell you.
Marcus,
we can talk about the finals, though.
Marcus, come here. Because I got to get Marcus involved because Marcus talk about
the finals. I can talk about me. I can talk about the finals, though.
It's still the slave trade. Okay. This is my producer and good friend and one of the hosts of what's the show called, Sunday?
Culture King,
heavy brother, brother from the south. We ain't gonna hold that against him. But what is your attitude about what the Pacers did in the draft?
Nothing.
That bad?
They never do nothing.
Well, I mean, you don't have any encouragement from the players they drafted?
No.
Well, who
they gonna play with? Who on the team that? Okay, they drafted some people. Who are they going to play with, though?
I don't know. It's the beginning, right?
Lance.
See, now you're going below the belt.
Look, man. The people in Indianapolis need to do a uprising and just, first of all, go burn the Simons house down because they ain't did nothing with the Pacers.
Come on.
They did nothing with the Pacers. Saved them from what?
We still got them because
they shouldn't be. Y'all might as well get a team to. Yeah. I don't know.
Let's go to the next subject. What about the coach?
What about him?
Hey, man, come on now. What do you think about what they did about getting Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan?
Okay. That might have been the smartest thing they did. No, seriously. Seriously. No, seriously.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan, he's not my favorite player, but he's consistent, though.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan is...
Matt Ryan.
Well, it's 11 people on the football field.
Here we go with 11
people's shit.
I'm just saying. Last I checked, Indiana ain't, you know, they ain't won. The Colts ain't won no Super Bowl in a minute.
Because the Colts
we did win a Super Bowl.
I said in a minute.
Oh, well, damn.
Because they keep getting these broke down quarterbacks.
Cleveland hasn't won a Super Bowl in a minute. Hell, until LeBron James came, Cleveland basketball.
We ain't talking about Cleveland. We talking about
Indianapolis.
Oh, here we go.
Indianapolis keep getting these second-rate old broke down quarterbacks.
Here we go.
Well,
boom. Matt Ryan is
well,
same shit.
Well, y'all are in the
The
Klan state, and y'all don't want to, you know, y'all don't want to come on over to the other side. Let's be honest.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think that pro sports has become so money driven that it's not even sports anymore? It's just about money.
It's always been about money.
It's sports entertainment.
It's always been about money.
Let's take LeBron James. My opinion about LeBron James is, you know, they can talk a lot of stuff about LeBron, but the truth of the matter is he's won three championships with three different teams.
Right? Yeah.
I'm not going to argue whether he's the greatest player of all time because, I mean, there's always going to be a mark argument there. But what I will say is this. He's probably one of the most prolific and greatest players and a person that is able to cultivate a name for himself, unlike any other player, with the exception of Michael Jordan. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Do you also agree that because LeBron James was involved in the playoffs this year, that more players were able to flourish because now the media didn't concentrate on LeBron James. They had no choice but to concentrate on the players.
Yeah.
Who do you think in the NBA right now, besides LeBron, besides talking about Michael Jordan, who should they be talking about today?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan is there.
Nobody.
Really?
You don't think LeBron James and Kyrie Irving going to the Lakers. That's a, look, think about this. Steph Curry just won the title a couple weeks ago, right?
The second
time. No, the fourth time.
Oh, the fourth time, okay.
Ain't nobody talking about it, though.
Why?
Because he's not a draw.
And he's been on the same team.
He's not. No, it ain't about him being on the same team.
No,
what I'm trying to say is he's old NBA. Back in the day, players stayed on the same team, won championships like LeBron, like Kyrie, not Kyrie, like Steph and like Kobe. LeBron is what you call, I call an NBA hoe. She going wherever she can to get a ring.
Whoa. You can't say that about Kobe until you
want. I didn't say Kobe.
Let me finish my statement. What you said about Kobe, let me tell you something. Why would a man who possessed the ability that this man possessed, getting paid money out of Yang Yang, why would he ever want to go anywhere else?
I didn't say that.
What you said was, talking about the longevity of the United States, it's true.
And they should.
But in Kobe's case, why would you think about going anywhere else? Because number one,
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying Steph Curry and Kobe represent the old NBA where they stay with one team.
They represent the slaves.
Exactly.
But they stay. But LeBron jumped from team to team. That's the difference.
He wrote his own destiny.
It's true. What he's saying is true. The bottom line is this. LeBron had reason to maneuver around, and he did. Kobe, if you don't sit there and promise me $100 million, I ain't going nowhere. Why would I? That's not old school. That's just smart business.
That's old school NBA. It's a good thing that Kobe stayed. It's a good thing that Steph stayed. Yeah.
For who?
Exactly.
For who?
Who's it? Kobe.
Okay, so you're gonna tell me you would have went back to Cleveland after the owner damn near called you every name in the book except for the name that your mama gave you?
You know what?
Let me tell you something.
The first thing that the owner of Cleveland, who was the United States Senator at the time, here's what he said when he signed LeBron. Said, you know what? Maybe I should give LeBron the team. He paid me $100 million.
I'm talking about when LeBron left and went to Miami.
You're missing my point. What I'm saying is, this man said on nationwide TV, shit, got the money I'm paying this guy. Hell, I'm not going to give him the team.
Have you lived in Cleveland? Have you lived in Cleveland before?
I've been to Cleveland several times.
Okay, so somebody called you from Miami and said, come to Miami.
Yes.
All right. Okay,
no,
so what is the problem?
What I'm trying to say is I would have never went back to Cleveland.
Why not?
When I'm after they dog me, and I wouldn't have went back.
You be in your feelings
too
much.
First thing, let me tell you something.
Yes.
If I don't care what you call me,
slave.
I don't care what you think about me,
slave.
But just pay me.
Wait, if you don't give me $80 million,
slave.
Fuck what you talking about. I'm going back,
slave.
Well, I'm just saying,
slave.
All I'm saying is Indiana basketball.
They don't pay their slaves enough.
Let's get something straight here. That Rackley got out there with the hangman's noose. Let's hang this nigga out there because who are you talking to?
He's a flip flop.
I haven't been a nigga since '96. Yeah. I'll get that straight. That's false fake news.
Hey, wait. We got a Muslim Jew.
A boozle.
That would be me.
Boozle.
A boozle.
We're going to call him a boozle.
A boozle.
A boozle.
A boozle.
Let's get back to sports. Let me ask you another question.
What?
Do you think that college made the mistake in granting players the right to market themselves and get paid for their money?
They stupid. They should have set an amount to pay them. Now, they've opened up a can of worms that they ain't going to be able to close.
Yeah, we're talking millions.
It's how do you control that, right? Hey, look, NCAA have been making billions of dollars for years. And,
NCAA,
ain't they here in Indianapolis?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know what, though? If you really think about the numbers that we're talking about, we're talking about, let's look at the NBA office, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at the colleges throughout the United States, which far supersede the amount of ownership in the NFL, and the NFL, the NBA, and baseball. Now, for years, they have made millions and billions of dollars off these athletes.
Mm-hmm.
No offense what's about. Question that I have in my mind is their approach in playing amateur athletes money for their image.
It's too late.
Yeah.
When they had the opportunity to say, look, we're going to pay you this amount. Because what people don't understand is these athletes who play on these teams in the offseason, they starve.
Yep.
Right? You know, they ain't getting no money. You know, the impact that the Fab Five had on fashion, sneakers, blah, blah, blah. They ain't get a dollar off that. You know what I'm saying?
Let me suggest something to you, Mark. Just tell me what you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I think. I think that they should allow them to make money off their image.
True.
But I also think that if you want to pump millions of dollars into a college basketball, come on now. We know what time that's going to be. We know that there's going to be problems with things being fixed. My attitude is this, that yes, give the kids a scholarship, no shadow of doubt, full ride, but give them like $1,000 a month.
It's too late.
It's too late or too much?
It's too late.
Oh, I know it's too late. I mean,
they should have did that 10 years ago.
But wouldn't that make more sense to you?
It would have. Yeah. Now, they're going to have to, it's the chicken come home to roost.
Yeah. Yeah,
and now the player, okay, so now NCAA is going to become like the NBA owners.
Yep. I agree.
Right? Okay, look. And what I mean by that, they got this transfer portal.
Yeah, you know, I just got hinted at
that. Will people jumping from school to school?
Hey, man, listen.
Now they get paid for their likeness. And they could have had control of that, but greed, they so used to being greedy and taking everything and not giving anything back. Till now they're gonna have to pay the piper. And I don't know how you put the genie back in the bottle now.
Let me ask you this, before we close this segment out. Let me ask you this. Do you think that there's gonna be shaving, cheating?
Not no more than it's already been. First of all, I don't know. I don't understand why we acting like people ain't been getting paid already. Okay, just stop it. Okay, it was just.
Ron's mother got paid big time.
Well, he didn't ever win the college, so it don't matter.
Oh, that's true.
But what I'm saying is, look, man, it's always somebody. The good athletes, the stars, gonna get paid,
right?
Some way or another. If it's not from the hustler in their hometown who hoping to bank off them when they get a big contract, to the agent, to the AAU basketball player that was, hurting all the students and to come on his team to play, to position himself to get a big job with Nike or Adidas or whatever.
Right.
I mean, it's all relative, really. I mean, I just think now, you know, you're going to know a little more. But, hey, man, they all paying in some form or fashion.
You're right.
Right?
Well,
the problem is, what about the 94th player on the football team?
Right.
Oh,
Jesus. Now we're going to start another issue, and I was going to cut off this segment. But Marcus, I got to bring it up. Let me ask you a question.
The swimmer.
Let me ask you a question. This whole transgender situation, as far as I'm concerned, is once again more of a sexual orientation. It is a reality. But let me tell you something. I don't go and kiss my woman out in public. And I'm not running around talking about, hey, I'm heterosexual, so let's have a parade in March. My attitude about that whole thing is it's all about pageantry. It's all about saying that you can do whatever you want to do, which you can. But here's the thing that bothers me about this whole issue. If you think that a person or a man who changes over to be a woman has a right to compete in women's sports, that's bullshit because it's an unfair advantage because...
Just because she cut your balls off don't mean you ain't no man.
Exactly. You're going to have more physical strength regardless because you're a man. Testosterone, all that stuff comes into play. I have yet to figure out.
Well, they changed it now. You know, they made a ruling.
No,
not just Indiana. Oh. They made a ruling with the NCAA with the transgender swimmer can't.
What's the rule?
Is that just in California?
Yeah.
Indiana's
made the same decision as
if
well.
If it's in California, it'll spread on. But I'm just saying though. But the bottom line is, look, man, you can't be. I have to say the LGBT community has done a masterful job of marketing themselves.
Just like the NRA.
They did a masterful job of marketing themselves. They did a masterful job of piggybacking on other issues to get their issue to the forefront. And, you know, if some of these other minority groups had that type of zeal or vigor, we'd be in the best spot.
What a great statement. It's very, very true. We're heading this segment right now to cause a pause for the cause. I want to come back, and we're going to do my catfish message because I want everybody to know. You know what? I finally got the approval from my attorney that I can say what I want to say in reference to this as long as I'm not slandering anybody. as long as I'm telling the truth. I'm about to expose a bunch of people because I am so tired of this bullshit. I really am. And I think that America needs to be equally as tired of this bullshit as I am. We can control this, but the way we control it is to expose it. So we're going to expose some people, a couple of people, as a matter of fact, when I get back. You're talking to Stephen B. on the show, Controversy, doing the Key of B, blasting your mind, doing real fine. I'm talking to you with 10% of my brain because the rest of it is tied behind my back. Be right back.
Hey, what's up, man? Hey,
brother,
what's up?
Hey,
how you
doing?
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and peace here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Simply called our hair is long. Oh, you know we've got to find a way. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Pick it back and pick it back.
Welcome back to Controversy. Stephen B. doing a Key of B for you and me. I'm talking to you with 10% of my brain because the rest of it tied behind my back and my nicotine-stained hands having my cocktail tonight with my friend. Check this out. Catfish alert. I'm going to tell you this story, but I'm going to tell you some other stories. In fact, just to let everybody know, especially these people who think they're that bad, not only does the FBI know about you, not only does the American Legion know about you, what's even more important, I know about you. I don't fuck around. I really don't. Excuse my language, but I'm being real. A woman tried to extort money from me. Anybody who knows me knows I got money. Money ain't nothing to me. $2,000, are you kidding me? Hell, I spent $2,000 when last weekend, Beetle? $2,000. So it means nothing to me. I drive with nice cars. I live nice. I do what I want to do. Let me tell you something. Excuse my language, bitch. Let me tell you something straight out. You mess with the wrong person. Her name is Jane Hansen. Sometimes she uses the name Jane Hansen Bobby. All this woman has done is tried to extort money from me and then tried to fabricate a picture of my genitals. Girl, you are too young and obviously too stupid. Let me tell you something. I wasn't going to do it, but I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after everybody in your family and to threaten me. And I'm telling you, right now, you're on air. Nationwide, countrywide, you're on air. You can tell whoever you want to come after me.
but you better come clean, because I'm going to tell you something. I might have an education, but I can get ignorant too. Jane Hansen, Bobby, Jane Hansen, whatever you call yourself, who has been kicked off of Facebook for doing the same thing, come with it. I know you. I know where you are. And I know how to put you out there. Do you really think I work? Listen, Nev and them from Catfish, I've done work for them. Do you not think that I'm bad at what I do? Keep playing. I'm telling you up front, in front of the nation, you come after me, you're going to have a problem on your hands. Let me tell you something. What is this? Oh, wow. I got to put that away for a second. But check this out. Let me tell you something. Veterans especially, be very careful. And older men, be very careful. Because here's the name of the game. The name of the game is they send you these pictures. And they're beautiful pictures. Hell, I don't know if they're male or female. But let me tell you how you debunk these people. First of all, send me some ID to prove who you are. I don't mind putting my driver's license on Facebook. I could care less. Secondly, don't listen to this bullshit. After 2 or 3 weeks, I love you. Because I guarantee you, within 2 weeks after that, they're going to want some money. And see, here's what they're going to do. They want you to send in a bank card. Because you can't be identified with a bank card. Now, I'm sitting right here with a person who's been with me through this journey. And he can tell you some of the things I've done. Some of them I'm not proud about, but the truth of the matter is I did it out of goodness of my heart, because that's the kind of person I am. But let me tell you something. Excuse my language, once a month, bleeding bitch, because anytime you mess with somebody like me, you got a problem. You even had the audacity to send me a picture with a bloody pad, because you said, if you don't get this $300, you're going to die. Really? You ain't dead, are you? Come on now. You're playing with somebody that's far more intelligent, far more powerful than you ever will be. With that being said, let me tell you, brother, something, and sisters out here. Most of them from Ghana, because that's exactly where she lives at. By way of Louisville, Kentucky, she's on her way to Dayton, and she's leaving. She's supposed to be arriving the 29th. I'm telling it all. And you know what? Next week, I will put her picture out here so you can see her picture. Stop falling for this game, veterans. Men, stop falling for it. Women, stop falling for it. Because it's not about, they want nothing but your money, period. And most of them are some broke-ass niggas. That's the problem. They're trying to be players and hustlers. They can't hustle nothing. Let me tell you something. I learned my bones in the streets. I know the game. I know the game. I'm sitting here talking to a bona fide, qualified person who spent his life being a pimp. I know the game. Don't play with me. Any one of you out there listening, don't play with me, because I'm telling you, I will destroy you, period. Now, I don't care who's listening to this message, because I'm smart enough to know that I've qualified myself by talking to the FBI what I can and cannot say on air. If it's true, I can say it and I can prove it. I got pictures. I got documentation in my line beetle. I don't mess around. Gentlemen, ladies, don't send any bank cards to anybody. Period. Tell them to prove themselves and show you some ID. Tell them that you're not sinning. And this is another game of them. Oh, I lost my ID. First of all, you ain't Ghana. On a passport, you ain't lost no ID. You got ID. Secondly, and there's a lot of them coming out of Ghana. Secondly, if you can't prove yourself to me, why in the hell would I send you some money? Period. Secondly, do not, under any circumstances, give them your phone number or address. Now, you can't control what they can pull off the net or Facebook. It's out there. But what you can do is control your pockets. Keep your money in your pocket. I'm telling you, because they're out here, and it's even worse because the economy is so bad. Listen, it's so bad out here now. Correct me if I'm wrong, MacB. It's so bad out here now that the prostitutes are walking around with credit card machines. Come on now. You got to get their money. But I'm being serious. That's the first one I'm exposing to you. I got a list of five because I'm going to tell you something, and people know me know that you will never see me doing anything sexual on the internet. Secondly, I've advised catfish as an advisor before. I know the game. You're playing with somebody who will do everything he can once you pissed him off to do something to you. So, young lady, trust me. We all know about you. We all know what you're talking about. If you're a lady, you might be a man. I have no idea. It doesn't make a difference. But this time, you mess with the wrong person. Her name is Jane Hansen Brown. Her name is Jane Hansen Bobby, whatever name she's using today. But the truth of the matter is, yeah, what's your question? Oh, we got jokes. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you what I said. When I saw the pictures, I was like, damn, she might give me some new people, some more people to listen to the audience, because if I was loaded like that, let me tell you something.
I'm going to leave that alone. I really am going to leave it alone. But let me say this in all sincerity. Gentlemen and women, if it sounds too good to be true, it's definitely not true. These people are out after your money. These people could care less. They're going to lie to you and talk about their dead grandmama. They're going to lie to you and talk about they have nothing to eat. They're going to lie to you. Come on. Who's your benefactor before you talk to me? So, Miss Jane Hansen, you got my response to my message. I told you I would do it. I've never even met you. But the person that I'm sitting here talking to was with me. With me through this whole journey, including Louisville, so don't play. What you need to do is hide your ass, because if you don't, I'm going to come and get you. What you need to do is stop doing what you're doing, because if not, I'm going to come and get you. Not only you, but anybody else that attempts to do this to me or any one of my best ever again. And ain't nobody playing no games up in here. I'm serious. And I'm telling you again, there's nothing worse than a former thug who has a PhD. I don't mess around. We'll take a pause for the calls. We'll come back in the show in about 7 minutes. Welcome to Controversy. Oh, wait a minute. I can't. Wait a minute. What did you gave me this. No. You gave me this.
Look at the date.
1971.
Yeah.
Wow. My producers gave me this Time magazine from 1971. Life magazine. Talking about, wow, Life magazine. Hey, are you giving this to me?
No, it ain't mine.
I tell you what, Bill, you got to do the same thing, baby. You got this. Tell the nigga you ain't got nothing coming. Try to take it out right here and walk in the door. That's bad. But anyway, let me say this to you. First of all, let me give you my radio broadcast. New radio show lineup at YazzaRadio.com. Shows are moving to 7 to 9 Eastern Standard Time in the evening. Sunday, moving forward, hosted by Dwayne Abernathy. And then you got to check that out, because real talk for real people. Monday's Controversy. Me, you see Stephen B. on the mic talking to you with my nicotine-stained hands and drinking. That's what I'm doing, drinking, relaxing. Also, don't forget on Tuesday, talk with, Tyler. That's one funny-ass sister. She's off the chain. And don't forget on Wednesday, a new show and a host coming soon. I don't care what my producer says or owns the station. You need to go ahead and turn that back over to me so we can rock and roll. And we've got to find somebody to come and do this with us. We're going to find that. Also, let's see. Where am I? Wednesday. Well, I already told that. Tuesday, Pippi and Snap are hosting that show. You got to check that out, because it's all real talk. Also, let me tell you something. You guys need to really subscribe and tune in to our network. And I'll tell you why. Because, number one, you got three brothers that are really solidly involved in this. They all happen to be veterans. The owner of this company happens to be a real man, a Navy man. I'm sorry for the rest of you guys in service who didn't understand that. But this young man has created one of the most fantastic networks. I mean, we got how many TV stations we got? We got 14. Damn, I've been saying so. We got 14 TV stations. We have how many radio stations? Four radio stations. 14 TV stations, and
Social Network, we got On Demand, and also we got a cartoon channel. We got a news department. News department, now I should be doing the news in my sober moments. But anyway, also, we're a professional thing. And whatever you see on CNN, whatever you see on ABC, we can do the same. And let me tell you something else sweet. We have our own independent movie channel. We can show any movies that we so choose. It's at our discretion. So send your movies in, send your clips in, and we'll possibly put you on air. So don't forget, that's YazzerTVOrRadio.com. Y'all need to check us out and spread the word, because what we're talking about, we have a lot of fun. We talk a lot of garbage, and I'm sure that half the people in the Catholic community are looking at me like I'm crazy. Probably most people in the religious community are looking at me crazy, but I'm about to reel. God I love, Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm being straight out. But what I'm not a fake. I'm not a phony. I talk about those things that are real. Thank you very much. I'll see you very, very soon. Oh, wait a minute. How much time I got? I can't see. Oh, check this out. I do private security as well at times. And the other night we had George Clinton here at the Clues Hall, which Clues Hall is a really formal opera-type place that normally doesn't have concerts like this. George Clinton, 80 years old, wife 57, but they ain't got nothing to do with it. This man was on stage for 2.5 hours, and I'm telling you something. His Royal Majesty, Dr. Funkenstein, George Clinton, 80 years old, turned the concert out. He's on his final tour this year. And if you have a chance to see George on stage, do it, because you will not believe the excitement, the energy. Tough as Ben is, I mean, I'm telling you, the Parliament, even the new members, because obviously, you know, everybody's old as hell. George's been doing this stuff for 50 years, is as tight as ever. Everything was on the one. And George Clinton, I salute you. Hey, man, you the guy. Nobody could have done what this 80-year-old man did the other night. And he's on this final tour. So you guys check him out. We're going to show some footage next show of the concert and hopefully some of the interviews that George and I had. But George Clinton is a master. He is a genius, and he's somebody that we should always remember and recognize. So in saying that, thank you for tuning in. Welcome to Controversy, doing the Key of V, Stephen B. We're going to be back. We're going to talk about some other real things, but what's more important, keep it real, keep it tight, and keep God in your life. God bless you. Goodbye.